I'd like to say good morning to everyone on Facebook, and good morning to people that are listening by way of iTunes and podcast. God is faithful. God is faithful. God cares where you are right now in this life, and He wants you to grow. And I want to share a couple things with you before I get into the message today. I spoke to you a few weeks ago about a fellow named David Frampton, who is our accountant for our church, but he's also my personal accountant as well. And he told me that Pastor Rob Parsley from World Harvest Church up in Columbus had made a comment, and I brought it to you, where he said that how many people invited somebody to church? And then he said, and I'm not preaching on that, but he said, how many people invited somebody to church? And then there were just a few hands that went up out of 3,500 people that it seats. And he said, how many people have those people that are there today? And just a few hands went up. And he said, what are we doing? He says, if we're not seeing people born again, what are we doing? He says, what are we doing? So I was in the office the other day working on some accounting things with David and Susan. And he said, Dominion camp meeting is coming up this week. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he said, do you want to go? And I said, yes. So let me talk to Christy, but I think we're in. So we went up on Thursday, drove up on Thursday, spent the day with Lindsay and the baby and Will. And then we spent Friday with Lindsay and the baby. And then we drove, and then I felt like Lindsay needed to go. And so what we were going to do is that we were going to, because it's 2 hours and 22 minutes from our house to World Harvest, 3 hours and 17 minutes from here to World Harvest Church in Columbus. And so I told Christy, I said, well, and here's the thing. When you have a leading, it doesn't matter how far or how long it takes, you do it. And so I said, Lindsay, I said, I think you should go with us tonight. And it's 2 hours from her house. So we were 2 hours and 22 minutes from that church to our home. But because of that leading, I said, you ride with us. And I said, and then we'll take you back home to where she lives. In Findlay, Ohio. So we got out of there at 11 p.m. Started at 7. You talking about church. Man, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, he peeled the hide off of preachers, and I mean, it's like he didn't just touch our toes. I mean, he peeled the hides off of us. And so anyway, I want to share this with you. We drove back. We left there at 11 o'clock, and we drove back to Findlay, Ohio, 2 hours, an hour and 57 minutes back to Findlay, where Lindsay is. We got there at 1:15, packed up our stuff, and drove to Scott Depot, West Virginia, and arrived at home at 5:30 yesterday morning. And we're going back today. Because camp meeting, Dominion camp meeting is tonight. It starts at 7. I would love for a bunch of you to go. And you say, well, I can't go. I can't go. Let me tell you something. I drove all night so that I could get home and get prepared for today. And then with hardly any sleep, and worked and just sat there and just meditated on God. See, what you have to understand is the Holy Spirit doesn't care if you're tired. The Holy Spirit doesn't care. The Holy Spirit can wake you up at 3 in the morning if you have to go to work at 6. He can wake you up at 11 p.m. and you're up all night. He doesn't care. I would love for a bunch of you to go. Because you'll never experience anything like it. And Tudor's preaching tonight. We heard a sermon from him the other day. and I can't get past that sermon of what he's been preaching. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's awesome. God will keep you. God will keep you. 5:20. 5:20 yesterday morning, I'm 10 minutes from our home. I said, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I just can't drive anymore. And then I put on a song. What's that girl named Judy, whatever, she was up there. And she sang this song. I turned it on, and it helped me to get that other 10 minutes. I could have pulled over right then and slept for 3 or 4 hours, 10 minutes from my house. God doesn't care what your agenda is. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about your agenda. When He wants to move, it's His agenda. And if I've got to drive 2 hours or 3 hours for a move of God, I'm going to do it. This all started just a few months ago when I drove from Scott Depot to Webster. No, not to Webster, but to, where's the old prison at? Weston, thank you. Thank you. Drove to Weston. Drove up to Weston. You know why I drove to Weston? Because there was a move of God going on in Weston. And I wanted to be in that move of God. And I got to have an opportunity to pray for Braxton County and to believe God for miracles in Braxton County. If I was not there to represent Braxton County, it would have been dead. Nobody would have prayed for Braxton County. But I prayed for Braxton County. Then I drove back that next day, and I stayed here at the house, and then we had that men's breakfast, and then I drove home. Let me tell you something. You say, well, you're just absolutely pumping yourself up. No. What I am telling you is that you need to go where there's a move of God. And I want that move of God here. So I'm going to find out where the move of God is so I can bring it home. But I need you to go and you to be with me and you to not saying you have to go today, but I'd love for you to go today. But let me tell you something. If Christy and I are just the only ones, or I know Barb's going, but, you know, if we're, I mean, it's just the three of us, you know, so we got to bring it back to you. Just like the thing that we had a few Saturdays ago here changed my life. People laying all over the place. What was that thing called? Freedom Encounter. I mean, it changed my life. People prophesying over us and believing God and, you know, leadings over here. Now, it just changed my life. And it's like, I want more. I want more. I need more. But if I can go, and a few of us can go and bring it back to see a revival. See, here's the thing. You know, I hear people all the time, they tell me of preachers that they listen to and people that they got fed from and this kind of thing. I am excited to the day when people tune you in to listen to your podcast. The people are coming here for the move of God. Title of the message is The Priority of Prayer. When you define priority, it says this: a thing that is regarded to be more important than another. The priority of prayer. If you rated your prayer life today as being 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, where would you rank? Let me park there for just a minute while you figure that out. I've seen this on church signs over the years. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. I challenge you today to examine your prayer life. Just like Megan said just a few minutes ago, and we've heard other preachers that we've listened to over the years said it's not the amount of time, but it's the effectiveness of the time that you spend with Him. We have to spend time. If we are going to see revival in Braxton County, then you and me have to sacrifice to see a move of God, whether it's up all night, whether it's God leading you to pray come here and pray and believe God for miracles.
My mentor, James Ashworth, said one time, he said, the gifts that God has given you, boy, people will come and flock for miles to get a miracle. And we take it for granted. You have gifts and you have talents that God wants to use. How it's developed is through your prayer life. It's through your prayer life. I challenge you today to examine your prayer life. Well, preacher, I have children. I have no time. I'm married. And he or she is demanding. My job is overwhelming. Preacher, you just don't understand. I don't have the time to spend in prayer. But it's amazing to me how people will come up to me and talk about the movie that they went to see on Saturday night. It's amazing to me the people that will come up and they'll talk about the ball game or talk about the race or talk about the series that came back on in the fall so that you could be able to watch those things. And let me tell you something. Christy and I have three or four that we like to watch, and I don't know if the Lord's going to let us to continue to watch them. But here's the thing. Let me ask you something. I have got to spend time in prayer so that I can feed you and so that I can minister to you. I don't care if you don't like me. I have finally got to that place that I am free. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to believe God for your miracles. But let me tell you something. If it's about winning a popularity contest, I'm out. But my job is overwhelming, and you just don't understand, and my anxiety level is high, and my depression, and my big toe, and my back, and all that kind of stuff. There's a fella that I hope at some point you can get to meet someday. His name is Gary Ucheck, and Christy met him when she was working as the secretary of St. Timothy Lutheran Church. Some of those people watch us on Facebook. I say good morning to the people from St. Timothy Lutheran Church. But one thing I will say to you is Gary Ucheck is anointed. And he is a missionary. And he said the things that God heals you with become your anointing. He said it becomes the things that you can pray over people for. And he said, I was healed of my lower back. Well, one thing you all don't know, that over the past several weeks, I have been having a horrible time with my back, and it's been bothering me like you wouldn't believe. So you know what I did, and this is, how many weeks ago? Is that 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, probably he was at our home. He was at our home, spent the day with us, and so he was there, and I said, Gary, I said, pray for my back. Pray that God heals my back. I said, it's hurting. It's really hurting, and I need healed of it. And so he prays over my back, and glory to God, it hasn't hurt since. Oh, but we're so prideful. Oh, I'll get better. I'll just jack myself up on pills, and I'll get better. No, what you need to do is you need to stand before God, and you need to say, Lord, I'm standing on your word that I am healed, that I am whole, and that I am well, and rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds that have to be broken in our lives so that we can be successful for the kingdom of God. Well, people say, I'm so busy. Let me ask you something. And I want you to be honest with me. How many people has a hiccup or a hang-up? What's the other one? Hiccup, hang-up, trip-up. How many people, I want a show of hands, has got something in their life that you need help with, you need support with, because you can't seem to get victory in it? Anybody? Yeah? Then help me to understand something. why aren't you showing up for the road to Damascus on Friday evening at 6? Nobody's showing up. Everybody's got it together, Ricky. You've done your job. Congratulations. No, we're comfortable in living in a slop. We're comfortable in living in the stuff. We're comfortable in living in the addiction. And let me tell you something, church. We cannot help free others if we are not free ourselves. Well, I'm busy. I'm taking care of this. I'm doing that. I'm fixing that. I got to do this. I got to do that. Yes, we all have things that we have to do, and I completely understand that we have things to do, but let me tell you what Jesus says about it. Luke chapter 9 and verse 60 says this. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He says in Luke chapter 14, 26 and 28 through 28, he says this. He says, if any man come to me and hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sister, yea, and his own life. He says, if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. Nothing should come before God. Come on now, church. Nothing should come before God. He says, I think the most important part is this, father and mother and wife, children, just take all that out of there and just say this part, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Church, if you want your way in this life, then you can't be his disciple. Did I say that? No, God did. Well, I'm tarred. I don't feel good. I don't want to. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't care if you're tired. I don't think that our priorities are in line. He says in verse 27 of Luke chapter 14, he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He even took it a second step. He said, if you don't lose your life, and if you don't hate, and I'm not saying, he's not meaning the word hate like, I can't stand you, mom or dad. For the rest of your life, I'm going to go serve Jesus. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that his own life, you cannot put things before God. If you do, we'll be like this. The rest of our church, I mean, it'll be like this until they put my casket right there and I go to heaven. We'll be just right here. But if we can determine and figure out how to give God the first fruits of our... See, we're supposed to give him the first fruit of our money and we're supposed to give him the first fruit of our time. Guess what? That's 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. You say, good Lord, you want me to spend 2 hours and 45 minutes a day? Start with an hour. Start with 30 minutes. Now, come on, church, be real with me. How many's got a sucky prayer life? That's why your life is in a mess like it is. That's why you get mad so easy. That's why you have carnality. That's why you can't stay off the porn. That's why you can't stay off of this. That's why you're addicted to all kinds of stuff. It's because your prayer life stinks. I don't know if it's good that I go to some of these meetings or not. Am I not telling you the truth? Come on now. Straighten your halo. You know it's true. But we'll stay just like this. Because let me tell you something. I learned that I have been catering to the goats and not to sheep. You all are the sheep. But I've been catering to the goats, and the goats are the ones that will run you ragged. They're the ones that get offended. They're the ones that get mad. They're the ones that get all out of whack about this and about that. You know, before our church split, I was busy putting out fires like you wouldn't believe. If I told you some of the stories that went on, you absolutely, it would mind-boggle you. Devil's a liar. A shepherd pastures sheep, not goats. But you got to remember that sheep do bite. But I never did see a cowardly shepherd, have you? Do you know that if a shepherd, you know that if a sheep cannot keep, if a shepherd cannot keep a one sheep together with the flock, and he goes out and he does things that he's not supposed to do, and he does all this kind of stuff, the shepherd will break his legs. That's the truth. Look it up. Google knows everything. He will break its legs, and he'll hold it and carry it around until it heals. See, church, I don't think that you realize and that you understand that I am your shepherd. It's important that you realize that I am your shepherd. I am the one that can help take care of you. And sometimes, you may not like what I say from the pulpit. Sometimes, you may get offended. But let me tell you something. The Bible says not to be offended. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. If I'm preaching in love, he says in verse 28, he says, for which of you intend to build a tower, sit down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. What you have to understand is that you have to bear the cross. You have to take up the cross and follow him. You have to count the cost. Church, if you're really going to walk with Jesus, then you're going to have to count the cost. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your friends. It's going to cost you, some of you, your marriage. It's going to cost you because they won't want to walk where you're going to walk. And I'm sorry when things like that happen. But I've lost friends over this thing. There's people that get mad at you if you don't preach from just one particular Bible. There's people get out of whack about that kind of stuff. I don't care. And that's been my problem, Barb, is I've cared. I've cared what people thought of me up here. I don't care anymore. Because you know what? The only approval that I need from heaven is Jesus saying, son, I'm proud of you. You did a good job. You did a good job today. You spent time with me this week. You shared with me your... And see, people get out of whack with this thing called prayer. Oh, Lord have mercy. He wants me to pray a half hour. I can't even pray a half hour. Well, let me tell you something. What you love, you spend time with. Christy's giving you a lot of freedom, probably more than I will. You know, 5%. You know, how many people cracked their Bible this week and read their Bible this week? Oh, well, you know, I've had been so busy. I've had this going on. I've had that going on. And I just can't. But let me see what's going on Facebook. Let me see what's going on Instagram. I can't believe this. Did you see who he's running around with? Lord, I just can't believe that. And next thing you know, an hour went by. We love what we spend time with. And you know what? I can tell by the way you talk whether you spend time with him or not. Because I'm just waiting on the day for some of you to come up to me and say, when I ask, how you doing? Oh, brother, You don't know. I spent time with Jesus last night, and I got a revelation, and let me share it with you. Let me get my Bible, and let me share it. Do you have just a few minutes? Because I want to show you what Jesus showed me. Oh, I'm yearning for the day that people come up to me and tell me that, and sit me down and preach to me for just a few minutes and tell me about something. But, oh, instead, I get all the stuff where, oh, I'm this, and I hurt, and all this kind of stuff. And I know people do, and I know people do, and I understand that goes on. But let me tell you something. Give me something exciting that God is doing in your life. And guess what I'm learning? He's not doing it in your life because you're not asking Him to. Walking around in the sludge. You say, well, I am not. I spend a minute and a half with Jesus. I resent you even saying that about me. Let me tell you something. If you want to amount to something for the kingdom of God, you got to do this. You got to bear the cross. You got to come after Him. You can't be His disciple if you don't pursue Him. Let me tell you something. People say that they're waiting on God. No, they're not. You don't wait on God. He's waiting on you. When is the day that you go to work and you say, oh, let me tell you what Jesus did in church on Sunday. Let me show you where you could go to the podcast and listen to the message and all this kind of stuff. Instead, we get sucked in from the negativity and the things that goes on at work. That kind of stuff doesn't affect me anymore. Then you got to count the cost. What's the worst it's going to cost you to go to Columbus today? A little gas? Well, mom will be tired. Yeah? Yeah? But I don't know about you. But when I've been with the saints of God, and I've been with the Holy Ghost, and I can drive on very little sleep because of the fact is that I've been with Jesus. I've learned something. I've got fresh revelation. Let me tell you something. You don't have to ask God to show you anything new. Get that out of your spirit. Say, God, I just need a new revelation. There are none. There are no new revelations. You say, well, why not? Because He's done it all. It's finished at the cross. One sermon that I'm preaching to you, my body experiences an 8-hour day. What I'm giving to you in 45 minutes is as if I've worked for 8 hours. You just press. I don't feel like it. You press. Press. Here's what he says. He says in Matthew chapter 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not second, not third. Your husband, your wife should not be first. God should be first. Your church should not be first. God should be first. He should always be first. And go where a move of God is, because let me tell you something. Seek ye first the kingdom. Everything else will be added unto you. Seek ye first. Well, I want to spend time with Jesus, but I can't get up early enough. Except if you're Brady. Brady can get up. He's been retired for how many years? And he gets up at 3 in the morning. My dad, he gets up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whether he's working or not. Me, sometimes I think that if God wanted me to see the sunrise, He should have put it in the middle of the day. But I don't do that either. Most of the time, I'm up by 6, sometimes earlier than that. Sometimes God gets lonely and I got to go spend time with him. Have you ever thought how much time you can eat out of watching YouTube videos? You ever done that? You sit and watch an hour of YouTube videos, because what it'll do, it'll feed you one to another, to another, to another, to another. Next thing you know, you've sat there and watched YouTube videos for an hour, and God got no time. He got no time. He didn't get any time that day. And then what happens is you go through a trial, or you go through something, somebody goes boo to you, somebody hurts your feelings, somebody does something to you, and all of a sudden you blow your cool because of the fact is that you didn't spend any time with Jesus. Am I telling you the truth? Because there is a place that you can get with God. Now listen to what I'm telling you, and I believe this. You could hold a gun to my head, and I'll still, and pull, you could pull the trigger, and I'll still say this. There's a place that you could get with God to where you feel the you feel it come up out of you, and then you could get to a place with God, and it doesn't come out. But then there's a place you can get with God where it's dead. See, God wants our emotions dead. God wants us to be dead. He wants us to be dead, but alive to him. He wants us to be dead to the world, but alive to him. Stop allowing your emotions to control you, for God's sake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this: Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, I got to go to church. Crying out loud. I texted 5. I texted 5 people yesterday and invited them to church. You know how I started the text? If you have time tomorrow. That's how I started it. If you have time tomorrow, I would love for you to be with us at the Pulse Church at 10:30 a.m. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to take no phone calls when the rapture takes place, because I'm going up. I'm not, ain't nobody going to be crying the blues over me or be crying the blues because they missed the rapture because they weren't in church. We'll say, well, preacher, people can be saved and not go to church. Yeah, but let me tell you something. If you're saved, you're going to want to be here. Come on now, you know it's true. You're going to want to be in the kingdom of God. You're going to want to be here. But I can't stand the singing, or I can't stand the preaching. But go somewhere where you can stand it all. If you have time, could you come and join us, please? Yeah, but you know what? It's when something goes wrong in those people's family, they call the church first. Why is that? Help me to understand that. When something goes wrong in somebody's life, somebody dies or something goes wrong, they call the preacher. They want to talk to the preacher. Good God, they haven't been to the church in 6 months or a year, but yet they call the preacher. How am I doing, honey? My best critic out there. She'll say, I don't know about that one. She's helping me. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what we need to hunger and thirst after. We need to hunger and thirst after God. Nothing should come before him. My question is are you hungry after Jesus? Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for Jesus? Well, I just want to get by, you know, because there's no love that you should have that should be over Jesus. You should love him more today. If you've been saved,
for any amount of time. See, I've heard this all my life, and I don't believe this. God is not a gentleman. People say, well, God is a gentleman. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God is a gentleman. I don't believe God is going to go and he, if he wants to send, not saying that God wants to send you to Africa. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? But if you could do it. But the thing about it is, if God spoke to Thomas and said, Thomas, you need to go to Africa. Oh, but God, I got to take care of my dad. I got to take care of my mom. I've got a job, God. I just can't do that. Look at Jonah. Jonah hated the people in Nineveh. But yet, what? Did God go to Jonah and say, well, just because, Jonah, you hate those people down there, you don't have to go. I'll find somebody else. No. Jonah rebelled. Got on a boat. I know I talked about this last week. Then they cast lots, figured out it was him, kick him overboard, and God provides a fish. Guess who went to Nineveh? Jonah. I got to tell you something. And you may think this is wrong, what I'm about to tell you. But God don't care about your opinion. He don't care about your opinion. He don't care if your big toe hurts. He doesn't care about your opinion. But God, I got to do this. Oh, but I'm leading you to do that. Blessed are they that are hungry. You want to be blessed? People say, well, I'm just not blessed. Well, do you hunger after him? You say, well, how do I get hungry for Jesus? Go without him for a while and go without food for a while. And let me tell you something, you'll get hungry, will you not? I always tell you that it's easy to go on a diet when your belly's full. Hunger and thirst. The woman at the well, you know, Jesus told her, he said, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. And you know what she did? She left her water pot. I don't know, a lot of people miss that. They miss that, but she left her water pot. And yet she got fed. And with the horrible reputation that she had, she went back to the city and started talking about Jesus. And guess what? Led people to Jesus. Had a horrible relationship. Been married I don't know how many times. Shacked up with the guy that she was living with then. And goes back and wins souls. See, when you've experienced change in your life, when you've experienced the change. See, you know, I know who I am in Christ. My eyes have seen the glory. Some of you all, your eyes have seen the glory. You think the glory is when there's a parking place at Walmart and you don't have to walk 10 feet. That's not the glory. Barbara's seen the glory. Some of you all have really seen, Karen's seen the glory. A lot of you all have seen the glory, but some of you have never seen the glory because you can't get past yourself. You have to get past yourself. So this sermon can be entitled, it could be titled something else, the priority of prayer. It could be the priority of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and it'll be added to you. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, and then here's what he says. He says here, oh, we don't want to talk about this one at lunchtime, because he says in Matthew chapter 17, 20 and 21, that Jesus said unto him, he said, because of your unbelief, I sense attitude in this scripture from Jesus. I don't think that he just went up to him and he did. I don't think that he went up to him because they couldn't cast a demon out. I don't know why. I love you, Thomas. I don't think he went up to his disciples and said, oh, because of your unbelief, because of your unbelief, I'm so sorry because of your unbelief. No. I think Jesus was sick of them up to here. He says that Jesus said to them, he said, because of your unbelief, for verily, verily, I say unto you, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you.
Nothing. Church, it's endless for you. What God wants to do and to take you the places that He wants you to go, let me tell you something. God can do it. I have seen the glory of God where I have prayed for people for hours coming down the center aisle of the church and the side aisles, dealing with demon possession and all that kind of stuff. Here's the thing. You got to get them to me so we can pray for them. You see somebody that's sick? Tell them to get to the pulse. You say, well, why would I want to get them to the pulse? Because there's people here that can touch heaven. There's people here that can touch heaven. You know, I tell you what. I used to get so out of whack about things because, you know, it's like, you know, this has to be right. That has to be right. This has to be good. That has to be good. Stage needs to look a certain way. The lights need to be a certain place. You probably wonder why the screen is gone. It fell. The motor part is still up there. You could see the motor part, but we come in Tuesday for rehearsal, and it fell. Like John Christopher used to tell us when he was little, he said, I falled, Daddy. I falled. I come in, and it's laying there on the floor. And that thing is huge. The way I used to be, oh, for the love. We can't have church on Sunday because we don't have any songs on the screen. Oh, my goodness, we can't have church. I can't preach, Thomas, because there's no scripture on the screen. I can't do it. Let me tell you something. I remember going to church when there wasn't no screen. I've seen God move when there wasn't a screen. And let me tell you something. I don't like that screen anyway because I think it's too high. You sit on the front row, man, I tell you what, it's like all you need a hanky is because you got a nosebleed. Yeah. That kind of stuff used to get me out of whack. Let me tell you something. I don't care if we're in the dark as long as we can get a move of God. I don't care if I miss a note on the piano. Let me tell you something. As long as we can meet a God, I miss a lot of them. I don't care. We just need a move of God. I've been in all-night prayer meetings where people laying all over the floor. You say, good Lord, how can you go and pray all night? Oh, if you've got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, you can get a hunger for God, and there is no clock. There is no clock. I sent Kara a message yesterday, Williams, Ricky's wife. I sent her a message yesterday, and I said, how did it go the other night, Friday night? We're normally here because we have hiccups and hang-ups, and we need help. Sometimes I have the privilege to babysit because there's a bunch of kids, and I love that, and we go to the park and have a great time, and we enjoy that. And she said, nobody came. And I said, let me tell you what we need to do. And I said, we need to bathe this thing in prayer. That'll bring them in. That'll bring them in. I need five people this week. Five people this week. You got to tell me which one you're going to do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 1 hour in prayer for the road to Damascus. Christy will take... You'll take what day you want. Christy will take Monday. Barb will take Tuesday. You'll take Wednesday. Brady will take Thursday. Pray for an hour for... You'll take Friday. Praying for their own ministry. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? That's what's going to turn it. That's what it's going to attract people. You know, what I've learned over the years and what I've learned recently, let me tell you something. You can post stuff on Facebook. You can do this. You can do that. You can put this out there. We can walk up and down the street. We can be in the parade. We can give away snow cones. But you know what brings people into Jesus is prayer. Prayer will change this town. Well, there's just not enough of us. Two or three are gathered. People use that one in a dying church. They say, you know, nobody's sitting out there, or two or three people, and say, well, two or three are gathered in my name. He's in the midst. Yes, he is. But let me tell you something. There certainly is power in numbers. Because people need to be delivered. People need to be set free. I need to be set free. I need to be delivered. There's things in my life that needs help. Say, well, you're the preacher. Good Lord, what's wrong with you? I need help. I'm glad you all got it together. I need help from God.
Andy, I just want to do God's will. Just want to do God's will. Finish this thing up. Matthew 17:21 says this. This goes not out but by prayer and fasting. You want to pray for the sick and they get better? Pray and fast. Get your priorities right. You got to get your priorities right. Let me tell you something. Jesus has to come first. Jesus has to come first. And what I've heard so many people say this. I went to spend time with Jesus and I saw how dirty my house was. Or I went to spend time with Jesus, and my buddy called and wanted to go shooting. And so I was going to. My intention was right. But, you know, I let me tell you something. God wants you to enjoy things. He does want you to enjoy things. But let me tell you something. Here's how it works. You pray when he tells you to pray, not when I tell you to pray. You pray when he tells you to pray. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to pray. Are you saved? Please tell me you are. Then you're supposed to. You say, well, I'm supposed to read a chapter a day of the Bible. Who said that? Who told you you had to read a chapter a day of the Bible? I've been stuck on one verse. And I didn't even read it to you today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Been stuck on that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Do you know there's been many saints that have died that fasted? These were fasting, praying mamas and daddies, people that were old saints. You know which ones I'm talking about. And when they got to the place of dying in their lives, they lingered for days and days and days. And the reason why they lingered for days and days and days, because they fasted for days and days and days, and their body was used to it. They lived longer than probably what people who didn't fast would have. They could make it 3 days. They fasted and they lasted days and days and days. You want to get God's attention? Fast. Fast. 3 day fast, 4 day fast. Start with a half a day. You say, well, I can't miss a meal. You replace it with something. You say, well, what are you talking about? What do I replace it with? God. If you normally eat at a certain time when you should be eating, pray. Replace it with something. See, what you have to do is not be so full of yourself, but to be full of Jesus. It's not about programs. It's about prayer. It's about where our priorities are. You know, I'm not going to think bad of you if you don't go to Columbus with us today. I'm not going to think bad of you at all. I'm not going to second guess you. I'm not going to say anything bad about you in front of your face. But check Facebook in a little bit. I'm hungry. Gary, no, not Gary. Jay Morgan, who taught, it's the study that's coming up, by the way. It's called Identity. It starts here on Thursday with Barb at 7. It's called Identity. Greg, or Jay Morgan, the guy who was here for the Freedom Encounter, he's written 3 books. And we start it on Wednesday in Scott Depot. I've already given it to the group, and you all should be ready to go on Wednesday. This is homework. This is you study it before you get there. So if you've got your book, you got till Thursday to get it done for Barb, because 7 o'clock, and our house is 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Why are we here? You want to learn about that. You just need to start doing it. You just need to start doing it. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you helped me today. I know you love us. Help our priorities to be in place. Help us to grow in you. Church, our flesh has to die. Our emotions have to die. Our feelings have to die. Our will has to die. Are you with me? It has to die. You cannot have your way in this life. You need to be Spirit-led 24/7. Are you with me? You need to be Spirit-led 24/7. You need to talk to Jesus about everything in your life. Talk to Him. Pray about things. Pray for the lost. Pray that God will send miracles. But not only that, get your priorities straight. And He is not waiting on, we're not waiting on Him, but He is waiting on us. Tasha Cobb, there's a song that says, "We Need a Move." I heard her, Christy and I heard her sing that live on Friday night. And it was powerful. It was powerful. I'm 3 seats away from her, and she's just anointing, anointing, anointing. It's like, wow. We need a move. We need a move of God. Stand to your feet. We need a move. But preacher, I got to get this done. I just got to do this, or I got to do that. I know, preacher, we need a move, but it's got to be on my watch, not His. I need a move, but man, I tell you, laundry is so piled up today. Christy and I were gone for 2 days, and we did laundry all day yesterday. I don't know how that happens. We need a move. We need a move.
This, he said, mountains are still being moved, strongholds are still being loosed. Now I believe it, because now I can see that wonders are still what you do. So we just kept flowing and we kept flowing and we said, and bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. Now I believe, cause now I can see that wonders are still what you do. Let me say, we are here.
How hungry are you for a move of God? Do me a favor. Would you do me a favor today? Don't come up to me after church and tell me why you aren't going with us tonight. You don't have to make up. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. But if you want to go, text me. And we'll hook up somewhere. Barb is going with us. I've got one more seat in our car that we can go. It's extreme. I mean, Barb is staying the night with us at our home. You know, we've got room. She's staying, I guess you are, you know, and because she works in Charleston. So she's going to stay the night with us. And, you know, the thing about it is you just switch things around. Some of you can't, and I know that. Some of you can. It'd be life-changing. It'd be life-changing for you. I'm not going to be mad if you can't. Just giving you an opportunity. Next week, Pastor Jay Morgan, the one that I told you about, the book that we're getting ready to do, he's just a country boy from over in McDowell County. Big prayer time over there next weekend. I hope that I can make one of the services over there next weekend. Probably 2 hours from my house. Lindsay's driving down from Findlay today to be with us tonight. That's 2 hours, 1 hour and 57 minutes for her and the baby. But they're driving down because they want to move. They want to see what God can do. I know it's extreme. I know it's extreme. But we need extreme measures. We need a move of God in Braxton County. What we're doing is not working. I'm sick of Braxton County wasting my time. I'm wanting to see a move of God here. And if I've got to drive to figure out how to get a move here, I will. I'm excited for miracles to take place. I'm excited for limbs to grow and cancer to fall off. If we get our priorities in straight and our emotions in line, God can do great things. God can do great things. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Give him some praise in the house. He's worthy.